We started on Sunday in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It was so good. Here, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord is one.
Amen.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. First of all, the Lord our God is one Lord. I started thinking about it. I just have one thought. I don't know if that probably that's not everything in this verse, but the Lord is one. There is no other God. We'll talk about it at the end. But also, He is not made up of parts. He is one. One God in three persons, but He is one God. We cannot understand it because we are not one. We are compound beings and very complicated. We have visible part, material part, and immaterial part. And that makes us very complicated. We were talking with Casey recently that so much of what we do, how we spend our time, is just to maintain the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need to sleep. That's like one third of our lives, just to sleep. We have to eat. We have to make food. We have to find food, hopefully buy it and not just take it. Yeah. We need to... wash the body. We need to do makeup. We need to do haircuts. We need. I don't want to go down the whole list, but you see, since we are not one, the Lord is only one. He is a spirit. We are body and soul and spirit. God is only a spirit, and that makes Him very simple. He is spirit. He does not need to maintain anything. He is who He is. He is life Himself, who has always been and who is always going to be. He does not depend on anything, since He is not in time and space. Actually, time and space exist in Him. So the Lord, the name Lord, is actually indicating that He is the most powerful being that can exist. And He is only one. There's nobody like Him, and He is not complicated. He's not made up of parts, but He is His essence is one single essence. That's just one thought. And then, since we mentioned this, we know from the story of creation, when God created man, He created him from the dust of the earth, right? That speaks about earthly material that we have. This body belongs to this earth. There's nothing that would have come from outer space or anything. And then He gave his breath to the nostrils of man, and that's how man became a living being. So we have at least these two. If we divide it like this, we have a visible and an invisible part. And then the soul is made up of five parts, like I mentioned on Sunday. And I would like to focus on the mind tonight. Maybe the title of this message could be The Transformation of the Mind. When we are born, we have nothing, right? It's like a blank sheet. The mind contains nothing, absolutely nothing. Self-consciousness comes, I don't know when, maybe some mother can tell me what age, but maybe between the age of 1 and 2. I don't know, but there's nothing there, and the mind is slowly filled with things that we learn. But this mind does not know God. This mind only receives those things that come in as impulses. And of course, there are many of those things that we know instinctively. When a child is hungry, they know very easily where to put the food, right, in the mouth. Sometimes they try to push it in the nose, and but basically they just know instinctively to eat and how that's done. But many other things that they don't know, and the mind has to be filled with thoughts, with things that we learn, and this mind, unfortunately, for those who don't believe it and have an emotional reaction, is an enemy of God. this world is under the rule of Satan. And we grow up without the knowledge of God and being enemies of God. The mind that we have cannot comprehend God. It's foolishness to the natural man. The thoughts of God are not compatible with our thoughts. Why? Because we operate in this world, on this earth, and this is what makes sense to us, what we see around us. God is not a part of this universe. He's so much bigger, so much greater. We don't know how to relate to Him. And naturalism says that what we see and what we can experience around us is reality, that's all there is. And this becomes a great obstacle for the proper knowledge of God. There's one term I wrote down here, it's relativity. And since I am different than Peter Kringle or Mesrach, we have had different experiences, we have learned different things in our life since we were born, we might have a different view on things. And this is relativism. Mesrach looks at my hair and she says, "Your hair is very short." And I say, "No, my hair is very long. It's supposed to be shorter. So for me, it's very long." She says, "No, it's very short." And some people mean that, see, there is no objective truth. Everything is relative. You say it's long, she says it's short. But the point is that there is an objective truth, and that can be measured in millimeters, how long my hair is. It's maybe 4 millimeters now. No, 5 or 6. And that's the truth, and it doesn't matter if she thinks it's too short or that I think it's too long. It's the same for everyone. It's not different. So, temperature is the same thing. "Ooh, I think it's cold today." What do you mean cold? It's warm. Depending on what you're used to, where you're from. But the temperature that can be measured in whatever measurement you use is going to be the same for everyone. So the views are different, but the truth is the same behind it. And what we need is to have an instrument that allows me to know what's what and how much is to measure by. And that's faith. Actually, that's interesting, that faith is not, I think it was Mark Twain who said, "Faith is to believe what you know ain't so." That was his definition. Faith is to believe what you know ain't so. But that's not faith. Faith is to be convinced about something and accept that invisible truth as reality. It's not without evidence. Faith has evidence. And then this faith becomes my instrument. It becomes like a pair of glasses. I can use it to see things in an objective way. I wrote to myself, the problem in naturalism is that I am not reliable in my judgment that I make. I can only use my own opinion, how I see things as my measurement. I can compare it to other people's judgments, and if we can add them up and try to come to some conclusion. But it's not going to be accurate. I need something else. Objectivity is subjective, actually. I need a fixed point. And this is where faith comes into the picture. It said in Hebrews 11, that's a very good chapter about faith, that by faith we understand that the visible things came from the invisible, something like that. We know that what we see here is not everything. God is reality. And when I put my faith in Jesus, He gave me new birth. I receive a spiritual nature that is able to think like God, this will be the transformation of my mind, and I will be able to see things through these glasses of faith and understand and have a proper picture. And then I will be able to say, like people used to say, that all men are equal, but not all opinions are equal. There are things that are false, no matter how many people think it, and there are things that are right and true, and it doesn't depend on who thinks what. So, when we speak about the mind, somebody said that science is discovering so much about the brain that they start feeling confident. This is what naturalism says, that the world is just what we see and what we can perceive and measure around us. That's reality, that's all there is. So we can see chemical reactions and different things that happen in the brain, and then we see, you know, that's brain activity, that's how one thought is being formed, and we think that that's what it is, that's the mind. But there's something behind it. Somebody said it like this: if you have a TV set in your home and you're watching TV, it's on, and you start looking in the back, what's happening, where does the electricity go, what happens if you disconnect this cable. This is what science does, but it still doesn't know where the picture comes from. That's the connection between the mind and the brain. If I stub my toe when I walk, there's a signal, an impulse that is sent through my body, through the nervous system, and that's like a small electric impulse that goes through my body, and it's measurable, it's possible to see it, and it reaches a certain part of the brain, and it can be registered, and then we say, aha, this is why you feel pain. No, it's the stupid table that I kicked. It's not because of those things in my brain. Which one was there first? How? When a thought is produced in my mind, in my brain, when something happens in my brain, it's stimulated by my mind, it's initiated by the mind. When I'm depressed, I have less, what is it called, serotonin in my brain. Is that why I'm depressed? Because I don't produce enough chemicals? No, I don't produce enough chemicals because I'm depressed. So this is the proper understanding, I believe. There's the mind, and this mind goes beyond the physical, the brain, that is just my physical organ. But this mind is invisible, right? Nobody knows where it is or how to think about it, where it's from. And God has a mind. God is an intelligent being. We see it from the creation. Everything that he made is a genius, actually. It is so perfect, so well thought out. He's a mind. And when I'm trying to say that, when I connect my mind with his mind, when I tune in, when I see things through the eyes of faith, and I understand things properly, then I'm going to be able to have proper thoughts. Well, that made my sense. I need to be indoctrinated. Many times people who don't understand Christians say that you're brainwashed, you are so indoctrinated. And I say that's exactly right. You mentioned it on Sunday that I need, what did I say? I forgot it, but what I wrote down to myself is that, well, everything we learn is because of indoctrination, isn't it? I learned the alphabet. That's it. Letters in a certain order, and I keep repeating it until I know it, and I will never forget. I need to know the multiplication tables, right? And I never question those things. 2 times 2 equals, help me out, I don't remember. and And I learn these things, and I feel, how do I learn it? By memorizing, by repeating, and making, building strong associations in my brain. We need to do the same with everything that has to do with reality. And it has to become part of my thinking, an integral structure in my mind. Who is this? If it's only me who's trying to determine what's right and what's wrong and what should be and what shouldn't be, I'm so lost. I'm floating around. I need a fixed point. And this is where God comes into the picture,
mm-hmm.
who knows everything, who can become and who should become my frame of reference. So new birth, the Spirit of God, and then learning, training myself like you train as a child to know the things of God, to know the world. Now, from the right perspective, many times it goes against what I learned earlier about the world, about what's right, about what's wrong. I need to be indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm.
And that means categorical doctrine. Now I understand this is a big faith step to take. This is what I said on Sunday, we like to be critical thinkers, and that means to be open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep my mind open. But there's a point in life where I have to close it, and I have to lock my thoughts on something, because that's the only way to go deeper in it. If I'm open, I can only be superficial. I need to lock on something and go deeper. And this is something that is very scary. I think that we live in a world that's very superficial because we are too afraid to commit to something because of fear. We are afraid to be seen as narrow-minded. It's one of the worst things that can happen to a person today, to become narrow-minded. But my point is that we need to be indoctrinated, brainwashed, narrow-minded, and this is what the Bible calls the shame of Christ, probably. We need to be fools for Christ to gain things. The problem with naturalism, to me, is that, well, I just have to say it, I have a hard time saying it. Sometimes I have this feeling that it's an assumption that people who lived earlier are stupid. Like, today, we know more than ever before. And that is true to a certain extent, and in certain fields of science. We know more. But that doesn't mean that people who lived earlier didn't have knowledge. I think that there are many things that people used to know, which was wisdom, and was lost and rejected because there's another thought today in the world about how we should search, about what's important, about how we should use the mind. And when we look at people's lives today from the moral aspect, or if we think about how the happiness index that they have, they are not any happier than people were before. They are not any more moral than they were before. The world has not become better in that way. Maybe there are some diseases that don't exist anymore. Maybe there are some great advances in technology. We don't have to work as much in our homes to do the dishes and the laundry. But are we happier? And my answer is no, we are not happier. It's shown very clearly from different studies. People are miserable for different reasons. And so to assume that that life is what we see around us. That's wrong. There is another reality which people are looking for, where I believe where happiness is, where happiness depends on, and we cannot get it by the material things, by the natural things that are around us. Don't get fooled by what the world says. You know, I think science has been lifted up as an idol today, very very high, and we bow down to it and we think it's wise and it's true, but it's not even as objective as we would like it to be, as we wish to show it. There's another one who is really objective, and that's God the Father. Now, what I said now, to learn from God, to have the doctrine, categorical knowledge of things, it's all by revelation. We don't know anything about God, only things that He has revealed to us, right? In the Bible. This is the book. This is what we need to follow. This is what we know. And when we put our faith into it, like I said, we read through those eyes, the eyes of faith. We discover these truths, put it into our frame of reference, how we think about things, and we'll see that it works and it's very useful, actually. There is no other way. And this system of faith, or a system of doctrine, all the revelation of God, is called the faith in the Bible. That Christian faith, all of those things that are revealed to us, all of those things that we have discovered as truth, is called the faith. And so Peter says that we are to add to our faith in 2 Peter 1:5. Make diligence to add to your faith. Why am I saying this? It's because, like I said, we need, instead of being open to everything, we need to lock down our mind, latch onto something, and this something is going to be the Word of God. This something is going to be the truth. This something is going to be the faith. And Peter says, I want you to make an effort to add to your faith. Add to it, add to it, add to it. More knowledge, more understanding. A transformation, an indoctrination that will take place. And it means information into my mind, from God's mind, through the Word, through the glasses of faith, like we said. So we are to add to our faith. Then we are to grow in grace and knowledge. That's also 2 Peter 3:18. And this faith is like an anchor. Satan's plan for people is that they would drift. And this is what happens. There is no, if everything is relative, if there's no right and wrong, or if it depends on what you think, no fixed point, and it's a dangerous place. This is why people go to drugs. This is why people go to immoral relationships. This is why people end up in jail, in conflict with the laws of their own societies, because there's no anchor, there's no fixed point. I'm being drifted and driven by Satan, and that's exactly what he wants. Christ and faith is our anchor in this world. Mm-hmm. And this was so good. Pastor Juha spoke about this, the pastor in Helsinki, one conference, that when they went out fishing, rowboat, they discovered that they need to have an anchor. So they took a big stone, put a rope on it, and threw it into the water. Now, if the current is stronger in the water, they needed more. So what they needed to do is to take a bigger stone. And this was his explanation. He says, how do we add to our faith? This is something that the Bible says, add to your faith. How do I add to my faith? How is my rock bigger? It is by gathering more information, by gathering more encouragement, by getting more courage I add to my faith because I need a stronger anchor. And I think that we live in times when the current is strong. We need to have an anchor. It's not, you know, adding to the faith is not that the substance of my faith is bigger. Christ is the same. He doesn't change. He is the anchor. The doctrines of Christianity are the same. But I need to be strengthened in it. I need to add to my faith. So we are to do that. And then in Jude 20, there's just one chapter in Jude, says, build up yourselves in the faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How does it happen? Like I said, also on Sunday, you are to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul. And it means all the parts of the soul, and that means all my mind. Mm-hmm. I think to build up myself in the faith is done by meditation. To keep myself in the love of God is done by reminding myself of what God has done. When I can't sleep at night, I think about it. When I would like to drift, you know, when I sit down and I want to watch some TV, I can focus my mind. Instead of allowing my thoughts to scatter, I will gather them. I will focus them. There will be a point that I want to meditate on, and that is going to be God's goodness, that is going to be His love, that is going to be His reliability, that is going to be the assurance that we have because of the Word. I'm going to channel my thoughts, guide my thoughts, and I'm going to get more, and it's going to add to my faith. So build up yourselves in the faith, keep yourselves in the love of God. And then in John 5, it says that we have victory over evil in this world. The world cannot overcome us, but we have overcome this world. We are victorious, and this victory that we have is our faith. That faith that I have added to is going to get strong enough to keep me in my circumstances that are coming against me, because God gives me in His providence what I need to add to my faith to be able to stand. The anchor is going to hold me, keep me secure in time of trouble. So, we said, God is a mind. I have a mind. This mind is not my brain. This is something more. But this mind needs to be tuned into God. This mind needs to be transformed to think the thoughts of God, so that my judgment would be right, so that I would be objective when I think. And it's done by faith. By faith I receive the truth that is given by revelation. And I'm going to grow in it. That's how I'm going to be stronger in my faith. I will add to my faith by understanding more. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be an anchor. That's going to be my fixed point and my frame of reference in life. So, thank you, Jesus. You knew what we needed when you started giving revelation to man. You loved us. You didn't leave us without a testimony. You knew that in our own wisdom we were not going to find you. And you know how people of the world, and we also used to reach out with our minds, trying to grasp, trying to understand. But we were wrong, we were lost. Thank you that we can have assurance because of the Word that came down from heaven. Thank you that we can own this book, that it's translated to so many languages, that there are so many commentaries on it, that there's so much that's available for us. And we would like to ask that you add to our faith. We have received you, and if you haven't received, then this is your chance maybe to say, I understand that if I'm on my own, I'm drifting and I need a fixed point. I believe that Jesus was real, that he lived as a historical person, that he proved himself to be God, and that he died for me so that I could be safe in him. I would like to receive salvation through Jesus, and if you do, you just have to tell him, Jesus, I believe that you came for me because you don't want me to be lost, you don't want me to be drifting. Thank you that you love me. I ask you, please come into my life with your Holy Spirit. Give me a new birth. Give me a spiritual mind that can understand you. Wash away my sins. Forgive me everything I have done wrong. Give me a new life. New start. Take me to heaven when I die. If you have said this prayer, mean it in your heart, then you are saved. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for such an anchor that we have. And the forerunner who has gone before us, who is waiting for us, where we are going. Thank you that you are showing the way, all the way. Bless the rest of the week we have ahead of us. Bless all our relationships, Jesus. And bless our minds, our emotions, our families, our finances, our work, all the thoughts that we have about the future, about the past, about ourselves. Transform us to your image, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.